This message entitled A Matter of Reputation was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on November 11th, 2018 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dear God, as we gather our hearts before you, we truly want you, Lord, to place within us, dear God, a godly and a significant understanding of what this is all about. We've been looking at these RE words, dear God, for months. Lord, just the other day, I went through all of the sermon notes going back all the way to Pentecost. We've been doing this thing on the RE words since around Pentecost, quite a while back. And I just thank you. There are many more that we could do. And this is yet another one today. Reputation. Reputation. RE. Reputation. Praise the name of Jesus. So I pray, Lord, open our hearts that we'll hear what you would have for us, dear God, and how you reveal that and you manifest that, dear God. In these last of days. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to talk a little bit here today about reputation, obviously, but specifically how reputation is another way of speaking of what you consider to be valuable. Okay, there are some things that are valuable to some people. Those same things are not valuable to others. And the other way around. You know, sometimes what seems to be of value is really of little value. And what seems so worthless is actually quite valuable. Dennis Fakes, the pastor, he used to have a church up in Toledo. I don't know if he's there any longer, but he told this story one time. About value. He said, "My interest in old books is perhaps an example of this. I was very disturbed recently when I ran into an old friend who had been cleaning out his attic and told me that he had just thrown out an old Bible that had been in his family for years." And it's just that particular story is always brings back a reminiscence. Yeah. There's another RE word. in my life, I remember when I was at the Aspenwall Church as a student assistant back during seminary, and there's one lady in the church who wanted to clear out her attic, and she had a lot of old books. And she knew that she had heard somewhere that I have some old books. I had probably mentioned it in the midst of a sermon or something. So she talked to me later, and she said, "If you'd like to come over and go through them, you're welcome to them," you know. And so I did, went over. I found that German songbook, you know, with the clasp on it, and, you know, some of the ones that used to sit back here on the table. You know, quite a few books, so probably a good, I don't know, 15 or 20 or more. I think it's even more than that. This is a story where somebody has thrown out a Bible that had been in the family for years, and this other guy would have loved to have gotten his hands on it. "Why didn't you call me first?" I asked, said the pastor. "I figured a book that old wouldn't be of much value. Besides that, it was in German anyway. You wouldn't be able to read it." "Well, who printed the Bible?" the fella asked. "Or did you forget to look?" And he said, "No, I saw it. It was somebody named Guten. Somebody named Guten, or something like that." And the guy just gasped, like, "Was it Gutenberg? Gutenberg? You know, the printing press? The first thing that printed the Bible? Yeah, that's it. Are you aware that you have just destroyed one of the most valuable books in history? One of those Bibles recently sold for hundreds of thousands of dollars at a recent auction. The Gutenberg Bible was the first Bible ever printed. But my friend was kind of unmoved by my despair. My copy wouldn't have been worth much anyway, he said, because some fellow named Luther scribbled all over it in German. Value. Reputation. The son of a poor widow struck it rich in the oil fields of western Oklahoma. When Mother's Day came, he decided to show his love and appreciation for his mother by some unusual gift. So the man went into a pet shop and asked the owner for the most unusual, expensive pet. And the owner of the shop, not willing to lose a sale, replied that he had a minor bird worth $40,000. This brings back memories to me too, because we used to go to the aviary all the time when the kids were little, and they always had this, I believe it was the crow, not actually a minor bird, and it had picked up some phrases to say. Crows can do that, you know. And anyway, he would say, "I'm from Pittsburgh," you know, and do that like over and over and over again. And so when we would come into the aviary and make our way to the bird, we would start and say, you know, "I'm from Pittsburgh." And he, you know, oh, right away, you know, huh, hey. And he start going at it too. Similar kind of thing. It's a minor bird worth $40,000. He said it's the only one of its kind in the world. This bird has an amazing ability to recite virtually anything that is said to it. It knows the Ten Commandments by heart. It knows the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed. This minor bird does. All by memory. "I'll take it," the rich oilman said. "The cost means nothing to me, because my mother is worth every cent. I know she'll appreciate the bird that can recite scripture and the Apostles' Creed." So the man did buy the bird, and he had it shipped to his mother. The day after Mother's Day, he called long distance, and he asked her, "Did you get the bird?" And she said, "Yes, son," and it was delicious. Value. Value. You know, they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Some people see value here, some people see value there, some people see it in different things, and sometimes not the same as people they are with. The same thing happens with an estimation of value in general. Okay, if you see your need, the value will be obvious, right? If you see your need, then like with that bird, he really wanted to get her something different. And so, yeah, it doesn't matter how much it costs. It's that valuable to him because he saw it as valuable. He saw that it was the thing he wanted to send his mother. I don't know if he was ever forgiven by his mother, but anyway. If you don't see the worthiness of Jesus, you will probably just kind of slough him off along with his church. I think that's what happens in a lot of people's hearts. They just don't see the real value of Jesus. Take it so very lightly. Throw it aside so lightly. And when you slough off Jesus, you're sloughing away his church too. And when you slough off the church, you're sloughing away Jesus. Because Jesus is the head of the church. They're together. Amen? Now, we've seen this in the past, and actually, we see it all the time, one place or another. Just as the key last week was discernment. Now, that's not the word we were looking at. We were looking at reprobate. But it was absolutely crucial that you have some discernment to not become reprobate, to not become unbelieving of the thing we're talking about. Well, today the word is reputation. And I want to take you on a little bit of a journey to take you through all of that. If you'll turn back to Ecclesiastes, okay? Ecclesiastes, and it's chapter 10. Praise the Lord. Chapter 10. Now, this is just a little snippet out of what's being spoken of here. And it's easy to pull it out of, out of its place here, because that's what happens with a lot of the parts and pieces of Ecclesiastes. The words are, and the word of Proverbs is that way too, through most of the Proverbs, where every verse is about something, and the next verse might be about something else. Okay? So chapter 10, verse 1, look at this. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. You let a little bit of folly into a life that is usually just the opposite, you know, having to do with wisdom and honor, and you end up with a bad reputation. See that? A little folly that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. This is the only place that this word is used in the Old Testament. It's the only place. Just like we saw last week, it was the only place. All right? The only one in the Old Testament. Okay? In the Hebrew, the word for this reputation is yakwar. Yakwar. It's yakwar, if you wanted to jot it down. It refers to a brightness. It refers to something clear, something costly, something valuable, something excellent, something honorable, and something precious. But all you got to do is throw a little bit of foolishness into the midst of all that and the mix of it, and down goes the quality. You know what I'm talking about. You just start messing around with something lower than what God believes and God says, you're going to end up with a mess. Okay? So a good reputation goes a long way. Well, a bad reputation goes a long way too. But God's looking for us to have a good reputation, having a belief of his truth, his word. Amen? And not allow the folly, not allow the foolishness to get into the middle of it, because it perverts it. It's kind of like, you know, yeast or something, you know, getting into the bread and fermenting things and so forth. Okay? Now, the rest of the places where this is used is in the New Testament. Okay? And I will have you turn to Acts chapter 5 for that. All right, Acts chapter 5. And we'll begin with verse 29. This is Acts chapter 5, verse 29. You know, Acts chapter 5 started with the story of Ananias and Sapphira, how they had lied about the Holy Spirit and lied to the Holy Spirit, basically. They end up dying for it. And then there's, from verse 12 on, there's some signs and wonders that are mentioned. Great fear had come upon the church as they were hearing of these things. A bunch of sick people came to Jesus. He healed everyone, it says in verse 16. And then the next few verses, the apostles are imprisoned. All right. And then the angel of the Lord by the night opened the prison doors. I'm just giving you some context to this. All right. And freed them. Okay. So then picking it up at 29. Well, I'll pick it up at 28 just to put it together a little bit more. Okay. 28. This is chapter 5, verse 28. They're being confronted. The disciples are being confronted by the religious leaders. You know, how did you escape? How did you get out? That kind of thing. And they had told them not to talk about Jesus again. And they did talk about Jesus again. Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? Don't talk about Jesus. A lot of people are that way anymore, right? They don't want to hear about Jesus. They might be willing to hear a little bit about God, but that's so generic in their thinking that, you know, boy, you bring it down to Jesus and the cross and salvation, and that's where a lot of people want to, you know, give up. Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and indeed to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So they made it clear, we're not going to listen to you. When you tell us to not talk about Jesus, we're going to talk about Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. And they did recognize, by the way, the leaders were recognizing that part of the intention of doing so was to bring this man's blood upon us, because it was their fault. Okay? The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Praise the Lord. Okay? Goes a little further. I'll take it a little bit further. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. By the way, the same thing happened at the right after Pentecost, remember? It said that the Jewish leaders were cut to the heart. And it's actually the same word that is used. Only in Acts chapter 2, they're asked, you know, they want to hear the truth of it. They want to hear how it, you know, how they can be changed. Here, they're taking counsel amongst themselves to get rid of Jesus and to slay the disciples. Same word is used. I think that's interesting. The same word is used. And then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel. All right. His name means reward of God. Famous, famous Pharisee. A doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people. He was reputed in this area. That is, the people knew what his reputation was. He knew what he was talking about. Among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. He gave them some pretty good advice. Tell the apostles to go stand over in a corner, and we'll go ahead and figure this thing out amongst ourselves. Basically what he's saying. And said unto them, ye men of Israel. So Gamaliel goes ahead and says, you know, you better take a second thought as to what you're doing here. Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up, now this goes into a little bit of explanation for other people that rose up, and they rejected them, the religious leaders, and they, you know, killed them or tried to kill them or whatever, and it only made things worse. Okay, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men among about 400 joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this, a man rose up, his name Judas of Galilee. In the days, this is not Judas Iscariot, this is Judas earlier than this, in the days of the taxing, and drew away many people after himself. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed, rooted out, separated, squandered. Now I say unto you, so now Gamaliel is going to give him something current, okay? Refrain, he tells him, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. It's going to fall apart. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. You cannot overthrow it. By the way, the word overthrow is the same Greek word that is used for naught. They just talked about the other issue, and it'll all come to naught. It's not going to mean anything. It's not going to go anywhere, okay? But if this thing is of God, it cannot overthrow it. See, using the same word, making it clear what he's talking about. Lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. It's a matter of reputation. In the Greek, the word is timios, T-I-M-I-O-S, timios. It's kind of equivalent to the Hebrew word, but I'll give you the definition anyway. Costly, valuable, beloved, also translated as honorable and precious. Okay? It's important what we think is precious. What we think is important. It's important to be thinking about what's important. Amen? That's what it's saying. And now I'll take you somewhere else. Go over to Philippians chapter 2, 1 to 11. This is probably the most common place that you hear about reputation. I'll put it that way. So it's Acts chapter 5, if you'll turn there. Acts chapter 5, 29 to 39. Acts chapter 5, 29 to 39. Okay? Oh, did I just do that? Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's right. All right. Yeah. Well, okay. Do you have that, Jim, right in front of you right now? You want to go ahead and read it? Well, it's Acts 5. No, I'm sorry. We already did that. For some reason, I'm geared on that. Philippians chapter 2, first 11 verses. Okay. Yeah.
If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Amen. Go back to verse 7, if you would. And it says that Jesus made himself of no reputation. No reputation. Now, the Greek word here is keno, K-E-E-N-O, keno. And it means to make empty. You'll notice the difference right away in these words. To make empty, to abase, to neutralize, to falsify. Also, it is translated elsewhere in the Bible to make of none effect, of no reputation, and therefore to be in vain. Jesus was willing to do that of himself. It says he made himself of no reputation. It wasn't God that had a weapon to his back or something, and you got to do this. You know, he did it himself. Jesus was willing to be of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That's coming as Jesus, coming into this world as Jesus, and not demanding that everybody bow down to him, and carry it through right to the cross, right to the tomb, praise God, and right to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. No reputation. Within that, you still stay where you are, because it's verses 5, 6, and 7 I want to share some thoughts on, okay? Paul emphasizes how the Lord Jesus left incomparable glory in heaven and took upon himself the humiliation of a servant, becoming obedient unto death to benefit others. Christ's humility of spirit and mind must be found in his followers. They too must live their lives in sacrifice, caring, doing good to others, and doing nothing out of selfishness. Jesus Christ has always been God by nature, all right? Always been God by nature, equal with the Father before, during, and after his time on the earth. Christ, however, did not cling to his divine rights, but he let go of his privileges and the glory in heaven in order that we on earth might be saved. Amen? So he could actually go all the way to the cross and give his life and do so on his own. Amen? Nobody. It looks like he's being forced to, right? Because the Romans say, up on that cross. The Jews say, up on that cross. It looks like he's giving in to what they want. But he came to die. Amen? Came to die. The Greek for this phrase about reputation literally says he emptied himself, laid aside his heavenly glory, riches, rights, and the use of his divine attributes. This emptying himself meant not only a voluntary restraint on his divine capacities and privileges, but also an acceptance of suffering, misunderstanding, ill-treatment, hatred, and finally, death on the cross. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. One of the greatest true reputations that you could ever find, I think, is right here in Jesus Christ. Oh, people didn't bow to it, and people didn't go along with it. But I'm saying he made himself of no reputation. That's the greatest reputation there is. Amen? Right? Praise God. Praise God. And the greatest reputation would appear in the end of no good reputation. Amen? Because he gives his life to take away our sin. If we live in the same light, we will not be exalted in this life either. Don't expect the pats on the back, you know, right till the very end. You know, there's going to be people that are going to be bugged. They're not going to want your gospel message. They're not going to want your testimony. There are people that are going to be this way. And oftentimes people that go to church or used to go to church. You know, we're not going to find great exaltation in this life. There's a place of no reputation, and being willing to be of no reputation, to be estimated to be without, what would be the word? Without people thinking highly of you. That's why elsewhere in the Bible, the scripture specifically says that you are to not think overly highly of yourself, you know, but instead be concentrating on other people and their needs and so forth. See, that's where there's no room for any self-esteem message, because Jesus wasn't into it either. If Jesus wasn't into it, then why do we think we're supposed to be? Amen? The fact is, we keep our eyes on Jesus. Like I told the kids, make sure it's the real Jesus. Amen? And not some fly-by-night fake. And then, okay, we're not going to be highly exalted in this life. That's understood, I believe. But oh, in the next life, because God alone will get the glory. Amen? We won't be looking at it like, look how good I was that I made it to heaven. We won't be seeing life that way. We better not see it now that way. Amen? We made it to heaven because God instilled within us, lived within us, the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise God. That's how good he is. And great he is. Huh? Yeah. That's in there too. Absolutely. Amen? So it is a matter of reputation. Don't always be trying to climb for the highest reputation in this life. You just look at Jesus. You just follow Jesus. You make sure he's the real Jesus and all of that. And God will do what he wants to do with it. Amen? And we all end up together in heaven. It's God that did it. It's Jesus who suffered and died to take away our sin. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean we just forget it. That doesn't mean we just, you know, we don't deal with it or we don't surrender to what he's saying to do or anything. It's just the opposite. Our place is the surrender. It's Jesus' place to save. Amen? Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for a day such as this, that we could truly come into your heart and into your word, dear God, and find out what it is, Lord, to be of good reputation. Lord, really, the focus is, as we give the gospel out to people, we need to be able to not want reputation in terms of how good we are. Lord, it's like Jesus said, you know, he's beyond all that. So I pray, dear God, that we would keep our eyes on Jesus, the real Jesus now, not a fake, but the real one, and truly allow for your Spirit to come into our hearts and work out, dear God, that good reputation that comes through Jesus. Because there will be the people of church, for example, the true Christians that recognize that this life is to be lived for God. Hallelujah. So we want to thank you. We want to praise you, Lord. And that's the story. Hallelujah. That's the story. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen.